watching Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris. With me is Sharad Kutan. Tonight, we're discussing the termination of the KL-Singapore high-speed rail project after governments of both countries said they could not come to an agreement. Now, what impact will the cancellation have at both ends of the track? Joining us from Singapore now, we have transport economist Walter Tissera. He's an associate professor of economics at the Singapore University of Social Sciences. Good evening, Walter. Now, did the news of the cancellation of the project come as a disappointment to you?
Yes, it definitely does. I mean, I think it's a disappointment to many of us in Singapore, and I suspect also to many people in Malaysia. I think it's a missed opportunity to really link our two economies and cities even further together.
Walter, you know, many critics of the project say that, in fact, it's not financially viable. And so I want to tap your expertise as a, you know, as a transport economist about the realities, the economics of high-speed rail trains. What needed to go into it to make it actually viable?
Well, high-speed rail actually has a sweet spot. That's to connect the big cities, which are maybe about 1 or 2 hours away by flight. So that's, you know, maybe about 300 kilometers, 500 kilometers, something like that. And in fact, Singapore and KL are really quite ideal for this because they're about that distance apart where high-speed rail is very competitive, in fact, superior to taking a flight. And so under those conditions, high-speed rail can take quite a lot of the business away from flying. And as long as the flight routes are profitable on those kinds of routes, there's no reason why high-speed rail can't get a large market share and also be profitable. You just have to look at where high-speed rail works elsewhere. It works in Europe. It works to connect major Chinese cities. It works to connect large Japanese cities. It would have probably worked to connect Singapore and KL as well.
So you
and
reckon that this would have been a financially viable project given the distance and the expected passenger load?
Yes, because I believe both governments did not intend to subsidize it on an ongoing basis. So they would have projected that it would have been able to cover costs at least from the international segment. Because the international segment, that's Singapore to KL, right? That's a very busy air route. We know lots of people are willing to pay for travel on that, including high-value business travelers. And so my expectation would be the combination of the leisure travelers and the business guys who'd probably be willing to pay more, that would have made it viable.
Can I ask you also about the economic multiplier effect of rail projects, like a high-speed rail project? Are those spin-off benefits real, or are they exaggerated or imagined?
Okay, so in the case of the Singapore KLHSR, I'm afraid the estimates of the potential multiplier effects, they haven't really been made public. But what we do know is HSR development around the world, when they are successful, when they have a large volume of passengers, they do help to bring the cities that connect closer together economically. And there's a reason why that's something that would have been useful for both Singapore and Malaysia. It's because KL and Singapore are not very big cities by global standards. And so the question is, how do we compete against the heavyweights? You know, how do we compete against London, New York, Tokyo, Jakarta, for example? And HSR would have helped both of us compete a lot better. And that's why I say it's kind of a lose-lose that we're not going to have it, you know?
Walter, your transport minister, Ong Ye Kung, explained the reason for the termination of the agreement in terms of asset code, that organizing principle for governance within the terms of the first iteration of the agreement. But, you know, the minister on this side of the causeway said that asset core would cost something to the project. That in fact, by removing asset core, there would be a saving of up to 30%. Does that make sense to you, that the explanation given by our minister about the nature of asset core?
Well, maybe let me first explain a bit about why asset core was important from the Singapore point of view, which of course might be different from the Malaysian. From our point of view, the key to this project is the KL-Singapore link. Of course, we understand Malaysia also wants the domestic link along the West Coast, but, you know, from Singapore's point of view, we really need the KL-Singapore link to work. And we needed the assurance that that link would be reliable and efficient. That's why we wanted this asset co-concept, because both countries would jointly appoint the asset co. It'd be responsible to both Singapore and Malaysia, and they would help assure, among other things, that the KL-Singapore link received the right priority, you see? Now, on this issue of the cost of asset co, I think, frankly, if you're looking to reduce costs in an HSR project, you can do that, but usually the way you reduce costs is you reduce some of the quality of the project, for example, the operating speed or something like that. But, you know, if you conduct international tender, there's really not that much way you can reduce costs if you have a certain high-performance design in mind, right? I mean, basically, these are international players, the Japanese, the Chinese, the Europeans. They're not going to be able to cut costs with you unless you tell them you want something of much lower performance. But again, I do not know what is the new plan that the Malaysian government has in mind for the HSR.
Understood. We're not asking you to guess the Malaysian government's mind. I think very few of us can. But I'm just wondering, in terms of a comparison to an international standard, what have other countries done when they build their HSR projects? Do they normally have an assets company? Do they work on both sides of, you know, wherever the track ends on different borders? What is done internationally?
So let me give you an example of how this problem comes about. It's the same problem in Europe, because in Europe, many countries have an HSR system. They run a domestic system, but they also run an international link. So you look at the United Kingdom and France. Mm-hmm. They run the Eurostar service, which runs between London and Paris. But of course, France also has their own domestic high-speed train service. So the problem they have to solve is this. When the train runs from London to Paris, it's going to share the line with the French service. And you need an operating system that gives each of these services the right priority. That's why you often find it useful to have an operating company which is jointly owned by the different countries, so that neither country has any reason to try to change the terms on the other, if you know what I mean.
Right.
So I'd say that the problem we were trying to solve with Asset Co is not different from the problems the Europeans have to solve when they run services from their own country in another European country. It's the same problem, really, and the structure we were hoping to use, it's not a new structure. It's
right.
Similar to the structures used in those countries.
Walter, very quick question for you. Was the HSR a victim of politics, the change of government in Malaysia multiple times, as opposed to a question of the pandemic and economic changes that had reshaped Malaysia's priorities?
You know, I'm not sure it would be that politically nice for me to comment on why the Malaysian government has decided to make this change. I mean, I think from Singapore's perspective, we recognize from the start that such a long-term project could involve some, you know, political and economic risk. And it's just unfortunate, you know, we just find it quite sad that in the end, some of those risks did materialize and we have to call it off.
Right.
So I think that's just unfortunate. But I don't think I want to speculate on, you know, the Malaysian reason for that.
Right. Well, Walter, thank you so much for speaking with us tonight. It's been very informative. I appreciate your time. We're going to take a quick break here on Consider This. But stay tuned.